you smell what Barack has cooked?
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
This is a podcast about professional wrestling and presidential politics and the intersection of the two. I don't think we even need to explain why the show needs to exist anymore because of one photo that was released this week.
Yeah, that's which I will now be having be made into my first tattoo. And we will get to this amazing photo, which I wish we could share on this audio podcast.
Yeah, that's actually a good transition to plug the Facebook site. We are on Facebook because we exist. It's Gab Pod. Is that our name of our? It's Gab Pod. Just type in the Great American Bash and you will see it. It is the Festival of Friendship with Triple H, Stephanie McMahon. You will not see Shane and his lovely wife because we had to put the sign somewhere. Mr. Trump, the Donald, Vince McMahon, and Linda McMahon. You'll know Triple H as the man with his eyes closed.
Yep.
And
That
exists now. Linda McMahon is officially part of the 45th President's Administration.
We did it, guys.
Here comes the money. Okay, so Linda is officially part of the administration, and any other president, this would be a big deal.
Right.
This would lead newscasts. How dare the highest office in all of the land bring in some carny folk to run small business? No, it's not even cracking that hour's news.
Yeah, that was gone. The only people who cared were marks like us.
And it's a shame because Linda McMahon has worked tirelessly to protect small businesses, and her work is finally being rewarded, and no one cares. It's just highly disappointing.
It's just a damn shame.
Anyways, Chris and I wrote a book. It's called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. It is available now. It is more than current. It is more than... I have a cold, by the way. I think it's obvious. It's never been more timely, especially with today's press conference. By the way, let's timestamp this right now. It is 5:25 p.m. on Thursday, February 16th, 2017. That's important because by the time you hear this, news will have inevitably happened that will change the trajectory of America as a whole. So we're only 27 days into this presidency, and a book that we wrote that we thought we would have 6 weeks of shelf life is going to have forever shelf life. So once again, thank you to Linda McMahon and the Donald for the Battle of the Billionaires and all the good that you've done. I think it's time to move on. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's time to move on to the big show. My new favorite segment. Yeah, it's tough to do this. You know, not only does news break immediately after we record and upload this podcast in a timely fashion, but it's tough to keep track as just a human. This is, you know, Thursday, so we've had 4 days of a work week, and we're already blowing past stuff that's pretty big. And we disagree on how big it'll continue to be. But this week's big show is Russia, a.k.a. Rusev Crush. Rusev crushing the administration. On Monday, Michael Flynn, the National Security Advisor, resigned. Basically because he misled, not for the act, but because he misled Vice President Pence about whether or not he talked with Russia's top propagandist, which he did. He did that and also misled Pence, so he resigned.
Because Pence went on the morning shows the weekend before the inauguration. Now, I watch the morning shows every week. You do not.
No.
This is my Monday Night Raw. I love Meet the Press and I love Face the Nation and all these shows because stuff like this actually matters and actually impacts an administration. Because the Michael Flynn stuff, we kind of already knew. If you've read our book, if you've been listening to the show, you already knew that all of this was happening, but there was no proof, and now there is.
There was an FBI investigation, and I just want to circle back. You said that the Sunday morning shows are your Monday Night Raw, so they're too long, and they just repeat the same stories every week, and they bury the talent?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so, but that was only the start of Rusev crushing the week. On Tuesday, New York Times, the failing New York Times, ran a report about how phone records and intercepted calls show that members of Trump's campaign and other Trump associates had repeated contacts with senior Russian intelligence officials in the year before the election, according to four current and former American officials. This does not include Flynn, so it's Manafort and other people.
Once again, we've been talking about this, and by the way, maybe you're a new listener. If you are, hello, welcome, thank you so much. You might know the name Paul Manafort because he was on CNN all of last year once he stopped working for the Trump administration. And this came up almost every time he was on panel. So this is not new.
You kind of had to bring it up.
Yeah.
The fact that he took payments from Russia to interfere with Ukraine's election.
And today during the press conference, this was brought up multiple times by the Donald. And by the way, for the new listeners, we don't refer to him as President Trump. We always refer to him as the Donald because that is his character's name. And if he's working this gimmick, we're going to give him his gimmick's name. Give the man his due.
Show him respect.
We respect the Donald.
Yeah.
So anyways, this is not a new thing. Today, during the 90-minute Raw press conference, the Donald spoke about this multiple times, said he only worked for Ukraine.
Yeah, that's good cover.
Well, he also said that he won the most electoral votes.
Yeah, in a huge landslide. And the reporters went like, yeah, you're the president. Whatever, dude. But the big thing, yeah.
Did you know Andre the Giant was never body slammed before Hulk Hogan threw him through the Florida Keys?
That's what I heard.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, right. That happened, brother. But, you know, all these stories, basically, a great or horrible way to wake up is to check your Twitter to see what Donald Trump has tweeted at 7 in the morning. The one that really caught me this week is that the real scandal here is that classified information is illegally given out by, quote-unquote, intelligence like candy. Very un-American. And I knew there was a connection here, and I couldn't remember the exact source, but thanks to a friend of the podcast, you know, this is from back in 94 during Vince McMahon's steroid trial. The prosecutor, Sean O'Shea, said that steroids were distributed, quote, like candy to World Wrestling Federation performers by Dr. George T. Zaharian.
Is this the same steroid trial that Stephanie McMahon compared to 9/11?
That's the one.
Here's that clip.
A few years ago, some people tried to destroy my family. They attacked my father's reputation. They attacked my mother's reputation, and they attacked the World Wrestling Federation. They tried to rip us apart, but all they did was make my family stronger. And that's exactly how America feels right now. Because on Tuesday, America was attacked. But America is a united nation, and together we stand strong. I am incredibly proud to be an American citizen, and I will stand up for my rights and my freedom.
I'm going to play that every time.
Listen, if you're a fan of the show, I really like you. Thank you so much for doing that. And yes, you're probably going to get sick of Stephanie McMahon comparing her family getting sued over steroid use to 9/11. But I'm sorry, that's part of our American history, and I need to remind people because I am a patriot.
Yeah, that was during SmackDown's Fist era. I just want to include that. Did you realize that in the SmackDown, the new SmackDown, like, pre-roll thing, mm-hmm. it's like a fist is the thing that's flying through the air?
No, I did not notice that.
Continuity.
And then Raw has, like, the Illuminati eye, right?
Yeah, the Illuminati eye opens to reveal Stephanie McMahon.
Which, it's fine, but once again...
I mean, they already have the Ascension.
But they're on SmackDown, guys. Come on.
It's just got to get the...
Are we fisting or Illuminati? We can't have both. It's just too confusing.
And we definitely can't transition from that. So yeah, the Russia stuff, you know, you and I disagree about if this story is done and done for who it, and like who
okay.
it's done for.
Okay. Here's where I wasn't clear before the show. We were speaking about this and I think it is done for his supporters because mm-hmm. your theory is the only thing that will ever stop Trump is X-Pac heat.
Yes.
Which is?
So that would be, so we usually talk about heat, and that's when a heel in wrestling is doing the things that makes him a heel, and people boo him, and that's what the heel wants. But there's a bad kind, it's called the bad kind of heat, or X-Pac heat, where people are just booing for them to get off the TV.
Now, I don't think that's going to happen because of the next fact you're going to bring up.
Right. So as of either today or yesterday, a Pew poll has that 84% of Republicans say they approve of Trump's job performance. 8% of Dems say the same, with only 39 giving approval.
Which means that he is not attracting X-Pac heat from his loyal supporters.
Right.
Therefore, Russia won't hurt him in that way. That being said, if there is an impeachment, yes, this will be important.
Right.
But if you look at the numbers, a Republican House and a Republican Senate will not move to impeach if he's getting these numbers.
If he's getting 84%, no. So it's one of these, it's the chicken or egg thing where the numbers aren't going to get down because they're not going to be able to do it.
There you go.
So we'll see if there's certain things right now this hasn't affected. Like we said, 27 days in, maybe Republican or Trump-based voters start to be bothered by some of this. Maybe they don't. But this is a bigger, this is a story that's going to keep, and it's going to be a tough one for him to pivot off of.
So I was watching the television dirt sheet, CNN, and after today's 90-minute Raw press conference, the panelists from across the spectrum were talking about this, and they had some dude from the right talking about, it seems like the American people in the heartland heard a different press conference than everyone else on this panel. Jake Tapper was befuddled of what's going on, where a guy calling in and speaking with authority, he used to work in the Reagan administration, said, Rush Limbaugh's praising this. Real America loves this. So I don't think the Russian thing, the Russian storyline is going to give him enough heat.
You could very well be true. None of the things that were supposed to disqualify Trump from being president or run for president have worked. So,
and what's fun about this press conference today is he literally brought them up. He brought up the stories of the New York Times saying, hey, this guy likes to rape a lot. And he's like, can't hurt me. It doesn't matter. He's fucking brilliant. I respect the Donald.
Yeah,
I respect that not obese man who happens to be 1 inch taller because he grew at the age of 60. I understand that.
That happens all the time. Yeah, and this press conference you keep referring to that was on today, his first since being in the White House.
Yeah, this was the most like straight time we've had with him with a crowd since Inauguration Day. He's done long-form interviews with ABC. He did one for Fox. On the Super Bowl Sunday. But this was a real press conference. This was not what we've been seeing with Sean Spicer every day. This is him taking real questions from the real media.
And taking questions from fake news generators.
Yeah.
And giving fake answers right back at them.
Not necessarily fake answers. That's the weird part about it. He was very, it's not fake. That's the thing.
Alternative fact.
Still real to me, damn it.
Just because it's predetermined does not make it fake.
Yeah, no, he's giving answers. He's answering something, not usually the questions that's asked, and usually answering in a way that proves he doesn't know what he's talking about.
That is 100% correct. Yes. The still uranium, an answer.
Just for, like, let's just pick one thing. How about my favorite? Here's what happened when Donald Trump was asked about uranium.
We had Hillary Clinton try and do a reset. We had Hillary Clinton give Russia 20% of the uranium in our country. You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things. Like, lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things. Nobody talks about that. I didn't do anything for Russia. I've done nothing for Russia.
Yeah, he does not know what uranium is, does not know what it's used for. But yeah.
So this press conference, impromptu, by the way, once again, we are recording this on the day of the press conference. At 10 a.m., we found out about the press conference. It happened at noon, which in reality it happened at 1 p.m. because that's just the White House. That's not a Trump thing for people that think like, oh, Trump's late. Obama was always late. That's just how things run in.
He's got things to do.
In the White House. He's busy watching. He's busy
he's
watching.
Watch the news he's going to be on. It's very tough to convince him he has to leave the bedroom.
Listen, I don't like to do this show unless I see talking smack after SmackDown. So I understand the man. Anyways, he says, like, I got to talk. And it was eye-opening, the same way the Raw's eye opens every Monday night and we get a glimpse into Vince McMahon's skull. This was fascinating. It was longer than SmackDown Live, if you don't count commercials, or if you do count commercials, without whatever. And but it was shorter than the 90-minute Raw on Hulu. So it was somewhere between
for people who break their week down into how many hours of WWE content they watch. Like
so
we do.
It was fascinating to say the least. I watched it live, and a few times I laughed out loud, which is weird to do in an office, but that's okay.
When you're watching a presidential press conference.
So was it as good as Elimination Chamber? No.
We will get to why it wasn't.
Was it as good as Raw from 2 weeks ago? Absolutely. Was it as good as this week's Raw?
No.
But that will never be topped, and we'll get to that later. The thing that I thought was the most interesting that literally no one talked about in my social media feed, he spoke about how he knows when to be a good guy and knows when to be a bad guy.
See, I know when I should get good and when I should get bad. And sometimes I'll say, wow, that's going to be a great story, and I'll get killed. I know what's good and bad. I'd be a pretty good reporter, not as good as you. But I know what's good. I know what's bad.
That's what every heel ever does. He understands the reality era, second to maybe John Cena. He understands that, like, okay, I don't have to live this kayfabe life anymore. I don't have to be Bray Wyatt on social media. He is Kevin Owensing it up in front of us, and that's why he is the universal president.
The big red belt. two of the other moments in this that were really kind of eye-opening were the fact that when a black reporter asked him, once again, he doesn't know things. God. He doesn't bluff really well. She asked him if he had communicated with the CBC, the Congressional Black Caucus, as if to say, black reporter, you must know.
When you say the inner cities, are you gonna include the CBC, Mr. President, in your conversations with your urban agenda, your inner city agenda, as well as
Are you gonna include
the Congressional Black Caucus and the Congressional
Well,
Hispanic
I would.
Caucus,
I tell you what. Do you want to set up the meeting? Do you want to set up the meeting?
No.
Are they friends of yours?
I'm just a reporter.
Set up the meeting.
I know some of them, but I'm sure
Let's go set up
right
a
now.
Meeting. I would love to meet with the Black Caucus. I think it's great, the Congressional Black Caucus. I think it's great.
It can't be both. He either doesn't know what it is or he thinks all black people know each other. Which is it?
I do think it's both, number one. At first, I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. This is one of the times I laughed. I thought she may have said CDC. And maybe he was like, why would I contact the CDC? And then, no, it's not CDC. It's CBC.
Right.
The question also related to historically black colleges, HBCUs.
Right.
So I was like, oh, maybe he was confused because being...
Well, he's probably confused. We agree with you on that.
Kind of sound alike.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Oh,
It was so awkward.
Maybe it can be both ways, though. Because, like how Vince McMahon says that MLK is his hero, and he celebrates Black History Month by having his black superstars read Wikipedia on air.
This week, did you watch this? The SmackDown?
I had to skip it.
It was so Tonga
direct to camera. It's so cringeworthy.
The first direct to camera.
Oh my god, it feels wrong. The person doing it should feel wrong. They're blinking their eyes like in the hostage videos.
I was expecting Crime Time to come out for the press conference, be like, I know these guys.
Yeah, this is what black people are like.
Ugh.
But Trump's not racist, and he's not anti-Semitic, because he said he's not.
He's the least anti-Semitic.
Is there like a...
Oh, my God.
He said that after shouting down a Jewish reporter who was asking about increased threats on Jewish community centers.
Yeah.
But he's not anti-Semitic, guys. He said it, and therefore...
We're 15 minutes in. We have yet to bring up Hillary Clinton, and that's how you know we're not as smart as the Donald, because the Donald brought her up quite a bit today. Because I don't know if you knew this, her name is Hill Dog when it comes to wrestling, if you've ever heard the intro to this podcast. And also, she lost big time.
Bigly.
So,
by a margin that could be the biggest ever. That's what he's been told.
It's all right. So,
yeah.
I think that that's an important role to bring up. The same way the WWE always brings up how WCW no longer exists. Like, we know, guys.
Yeah, and they did that during the segment we're going to talk about later.
Oh, God.
So that was, until this press conference, until Rusev crushed America, we didn't even think this was going to be the biggest story this week. And that's what's kind of fun and frustrating about doing this podcast is, like, earlier this week, like we talked about in the lead, when, Linda McMahon took her photo with Trump, a photo that has now gone viral because 43% of the people in it have been given the Stone Cold Stunner. That seemed like it was going to be the biggest story. The thing that justifies, and the thing that I use at cocktail parties or whatever. No one goes to cocktail parties. The thing I use, the elevator pitch for the book is like, hey, you know how the WWE is in the cabinet? Oh, no, you didn't? Oh, here's why.
Yeah.
So.
Nope, that doesn't even crack like the top 10. I think him unfollowing Kellyanne Conway on Twitter is maybe more important than Linda McMahon. And that's, it's weird because.
Like when Eva Marie unfollowed WWE on Twitter this week?
Is that really happened?
Yeah.
That's amazing. The thing about Linda McMahon that we should always bring up is she's qualified. She's qualified to do this.
Yes.
I don't necessarily agree with her politics.
Right.
And I don't necessarily agree to the methods that the WWE used to become the WWE. That being said, I am an investor in the company, so I really respect it.
But she is a business person, in charge of stuff with small businesses.
For better or worse, she passed, I think it was like an 81-19 margin. It was not close in any way.
No.
She's qualified.
Right. She got in. Other somewhat qualified people have not. One of the other big stories this week where his labor secretary nominee had to resign.
Did that even come? I don't think that came up at the press conference.
Well, you watched 90-minute Raw press conference.
I don't think that even came up. That's how much has happened in 27 days. Yeah. I mean, we're on the road to WrestleMania already. This is so much. These are too many roadblocks, guys.
It's the end of the line. So, yeah, Linda, not the biggest story there. Not mentioned in WWE programming.
Not once.
No, because they are still keeping this generally at arm's reach.
Generally is the key word you use right there.
Because JBL keeps doing this. Announcer on SmackDown programming. He likes to toe the line here of what he can get away with mentioning Trump, mentioning politics.
Okay, so JBL is on SmackDown, but there was a SmackDown pay-per-view, which means in theory more people are going to watch it. I don't know how this shakes out, but no. JBL, for all intents and purposes, would have been the guy I thought that was most likely to go into politics. I was incorrect.
It's Booker T.
It's Booker T.
Well, it's the Donald and then Booker T.
But it's also Rhino, who actually ran for a seat in the Michigan State House. And he lost. And about minute 40 into the Elimination Chamber, JBL said,
ECW champ for the ECW legend Rhino. The former ECW champion, former SmackDown Tag Team champion.
He ran for office to be a politician, found out he was too honest and had too much common sense.
Oh! Which is like a fun throwaway line.
Yeah.
But that means all politicians don't have common sense and are liars, which is the guy in the WWE Hall of Fame, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and also Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This is the thing. How is he able to do this and no one else? Is it because he's an older white guy that's on Fox Business and that's why?
I mean, I'm pretty sure older white guys can do whatever they want in America and in the WWE.
But we keep bringing this up and it's not... You don't see anything that blatant on either side.
Right.
Cena is the best.
At subtweeting.
At subtweeting.
Yeah.
Second only to Sami Zayn.
Yes. And Sami Zayn was doing it. We can just skip to this part of it because, yeah, he's doing it again this week where as the kind of news that the... actually, I think this was when the Russia stuff was coming out. He tweeted a screen grab from Arrested Development.
There's a good chance I may have committed some light...
This is also the same week that on WWE programming, they are starting to allude to Sami Zayn's actual background, which is he's a Syrian. He's the son of a Syrian refugees, and he's
to Canada, and he's Muslim.
So that's not what you'd expect.
Yeah, I think it's they're two. This is the kind of the juxtaposition of these two drives they have. One to pimp every. And plug everything that mentions them in legitimate press. So there was a big feature on Sami Zayn talking about how he's trying to, you know, do some image rehab for Muslims, I guess.
The big feature was in ESPN.
Yes.
It was not in the fake news over here. It was in the real sports media, the biggest sports media
the
organization
they have the relationship
is.
With. Yeah. So while they like to, they like to cherry pick what they talk about. It's so hard for them to not talk about when they're in the press, kind of like the president does.
Let's get back to the Elimination Chamber because I thought it was actually a very good pay-per-view.
I agree.
That I was not excited about in any way.
I was excited because there was three women's matches.
And all of them were pretty okay, too
they
good.
They did the job, yeah.
Yeah. The Naomi win. Naomi is our new SmackDown Live Women's Champion.
Great title.
For
7 weeks, yes, she is.
I was legitimately happy for her. There was actual emotion there.
Yeah,
I was.
Oh, actual emotion from you or from her?
Both.
Okay.
She legit cried.
Yeah.
And it was a wonderful, heartwarming moment.
Yeah. So she gets to go in her hometown in Orlando with the belt, and in the WWE, if you go into your hometown with a belt, you lose it.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
That's
so
great.
She will. That will be happening. But she's gonna have a big rave, maybe a Pulse tribute at WrestleMania, which could be kind of interesting. And she gets to be champion for 7 weeks, even though that was a really botchy match, especially the finish.
Sure, yeah. I'm not gonna disagree in any way with the quality of the match, but the moment, and that's really what all this is about, was really nice and completely unexpected. Because when I think of Elimination Chamber, I don't think of a changing of the guard for the women's title that has any type of emotion.
That's true.
So good for them.
Yeah. They also did this stuff that you liked with the with Carmella and James.
I like it for all of the wrong reasons.
Why?
Because it reminds me of one of my favorite moments from WrestleMania 10. The storyline is Carmella and what is?
Try not to call him.
And James Hogsworth.
There you go.
They're in a booth. They're in a box at the pay per view. And it's reminiscent of a Bill Clinton impersonator schmoozing with Ted the Million Dollar Man DiBiase and IRS Irving R. Scheister at WrestleMania 10.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you guys knew this, the WWE used to like to play with politics.
Yeah.
They used to not shy away from things.
They used to have impersonators. They used to have the real thing. Now, in this era, especially the era when their former executive is in the administration... Not too hot to talk about it.
Yeah. I also love the main event, even though we all knew where it was going. And by
featuring IRS's son.
Bray Wyatt. It was an ending we all knew was going to happen.
If you read the dirt sheets that aren't CNN.
Yeah. Yeah. If you read the real news. And even so, it was still very well done.
It was a fun match. The Elimination Chamber, they got new... It's like a cage that, you know, one man is like, the two guys start in the ring, and then one extra guy comes out of his pod every 5 minutes. It's got chains and metal, and they're bashing into it and flying off of it, flying through it. It was a good match. And yeah, Bray needed a win for storyline purposes, but he gets a solid win. He gets to pin Cena and Styles clean without any interference, which is very rare for their heels, unlike our heel president who had interference to win his belt. Bray won it clean, which doesn't usually happen. And then also pinned Cena clean on Tuesday, on 2 days later.
So it's been a really solid week of WWE programming. And then, so we got Sunday Elimination Chamber, Monday Night Raw, greatest Raw maybe in our lifetime. Tuesday, SmackDown Live. Wednesday, Linda McMahon and Trump celebrating part two of the Festival of Friendship. Yeah. Let's track backwards a little bit. Let's go to Monday Night Raw on Monday.
The best, I'm going to say the best Raw segment of all time.
Yeah, it's hard to disagree
on
with this.
On TV's longest running... I can't even get their thing right. What do they call it? It's like the longest running weekly
episodic
television.
Whatever.
Monday Night Raw.
Okay, so...
let's set it up. So it's the Festival of Friendship. For months, Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, Team Kevin and Chris...
Two
team
Canadians.
Chris and Kevin. Yes.
Which is
American
important.
Heroes. One, Chris Jericho, if you watch wrestling in the 90s and the 2000s, you remember him. He's the same brilliant guy and can still go in the ring. Kevin Owens... younger indie guy, not the traditional look of a wrestler because he's a big fat Canadian.
He looks
guy.
Like a wrestling fan.
Yeah, and that's his appeal. But they've been best friends and heels for several months now and doing probably the best, whatever segments they do have been the best segments. And there's been some, they're clearly building to a match at WrestleMania and there's tensions are high. So Jericho said, don't worry about what's been going on. On Monday, we're going to be in Vegas. We'll have a Festival of Friendship. The Festival of Friendship, he comes out with, like, showgirls. He reminded me of, did you ever see Death to Smoochie?
Yes, absolutely.
Rainbow Randolph.
Sure.
He's twirling his hat. Kevin Owens not pleased to be there.
You're already missing a very important point. It what? Starts with him essentially doing the old school Jericho entrance with the glittery jacket. He hasn't had his glittery jacket. Yeah. So that's already one little nod to how great this is.
Yeah. They come out to the ring. He's got all his stuff set up in the ring, and he says it's going to be a night of friendship, a festival of friendship. He's got these gifts.
Ralph Guggenheim, he is the premier Norwegian minimalist, maximist artiste, and I commissioned him to make a piece of art that would be the epitome of our friendship. So check it out. Here it is.
And it's this, it's like two figures kind of intertwined, and it represents their friendship. KO, not sold on it. Goes to the second piece of art. This one, just go on our, we'll have to post it on the Gab Pod,
it's
or
so good.
It's on our Twitters. It's the creation of Adam recast with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens.
It is amazing.
And you don't need pants because it's art.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I think it's the second most important painting in sitcom or weekly episodic television since Seinfeld's Kramer, the Kramer or whatever that was referred to. I think that it's that good.
I also think it's another Arrested Development callback in Raw World this week to George Michael being...
When they had the living art.
The living art, yeah. So Owens is not sold on that. He brings out the third gift is a magician named Friendship who does some really bad magic.
Friendship the magician, you just made the list!
We'll come back to that. So the next thing, the whole thing that Owens is pissed about is that Jericho, I like that I'm doing like a blow, like a kid explaining what happened on his cartoons. And then.
Then the shiny man got mad and the fat man got even.
Yeah. So Owens is mad because Jericho accepted a challenge against Goldberg at Fastlane on the road to WrestleMania in a couple weeks. Doesn't want to face Goldberg. He's like, don't worry, I got you. So he's like, I'm calling out Goldberg. And this was another Arrested Development callback, also a callback to Chris Jericho, which is great. He said that basically they went, as they're going to commercial, he's like, Goldberg's going to get, and he points to the thing. They go to commercial, they come back, and he finishes the sentence.
Okay, so if you're watching it live, you think that something if you're in the arena, you're like, what the fuck is going on? Because it's a real break. We've gone to these things. Like, they usually play commercials, like there's commercials on TV. So all of a sudden, if you're in the arena, it's just like, what the fuck is happening for 2 minutes?
Why is he just standing there with his finger?
And if you're watching at home, you're probably like, you're probably like, Jesus Christ. You're thinking that maybe you didn't just watch a commercial. Maybe something happened. Maybe your TV skipped a beat or something like that. Or if you're using a DVR, did I just fast forward? This is brilliant. And to my knowledge, it's never been done before.
Well, not like in the middle of a sentence. One of the famous promos that Chris Jericho did was The Man of 1,004 Holds, and where he came out with a list. This is the first list he had. This is in WCW. And he starts naming the holds that he can do. Armbar. Mexican armbar. And he's naming these things. They go to commercial. During the commercial break, he just got the cheapest seat possible. He's like, this town fuck sucks. You guys are the worst. He's just getting, but they come back, everyone's booing him. And he's like, number 978. Inverted armbar. Yeah. So he's done. This is another callback to like Jericho's greatest hits.
And if you don't know any of this, it's still good.
It still works.
God.
So when he calls out Goldberg, another callback comes. It's not Goldberg. It's fucking Gilbert. It's Dwayne Gill, who during the Attitude Era was the WWE's version of Gilbert or Goldberg. He's a little twerpy guy from Baltimore. He's now 57 years old. He weighs about like $120, and he was just a jobber. They got to make fun of Goldberg. So he would do. Goldberg used to come out in these like all the sparks pyro, and they would just hold.
Still does.
Yeah, and they would have people for Gilbert just hold sparklers, and then he gets fire extinguished. So he's making his way down, and the announcers are like trying to explain. Gilbert was the Attitude Era's version of Goldberg, and Kevin Owens just goes fuck this, and he just. Houses this 57-year-old real bad on the thing. So he gets back to the ring and he's like, this is enough. And then Chris Jericho, we should play a clip of this because this is like him, a work shoot.
We'll be playing a lot of clips.
This is a work shoot of Chris Jericho explaining how much fun this little run has been with Kevin Owens.
I've had such a great time working with you, being your partner. It's made this last year in the WWE one of my favorite years of my entire career. And a lot of that's because of you. Okay? It really is. I mean, I've had a lot of friends in this business and a lot of partners, but I haven't had the chemistry with any of them like I have with you. It's been a joy. You've made my job here and my time here in the WWE a better place, and I wanted to thank you for that. Okay?
You know, Owen's a little contrite, and they've gone back and forth. They've teased breakups several times during this run, and he goes, I got you one gift. And he gives them the list of KO.
I know it's not much, but
it's perfect. A new list. I mean, it's great. I mean, the other list is getting beat up and it's getting full. How come my name's on this?
Do you want to talk about legit emotions from like the Naomi thing? When I think of or watch the why is my name on this list? It's like you're about to like kick a kitten or something. Like I'm like, oh, this is not going. This is going exactly where.
So
it
to recap,
go.
The first thing on the list of KO is Jericho. What's right. The last thing on the list of Jericho?
Friendship.
It's brilliant. It's yeah. So well
they just added
done.
All this stuff. It's basically, and then Kevin Owens beats the crap out of him, power bombs into the apron, and leaves, setting up their next act of their story. And it's amazing. It's basically, I think it's the best Raw segment because of all the callbacks, because of the meta stuff that wrestling does really well.
And once again, if you don't know any of this, you could still enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. It makes sense. It's not like a meta thing that you need to know the inside jokes to get, like sometimes Arrested Development. It works on its own, and it has these different layers, which is what we like about wrestling, is that you can enjoy it as this silly thing where guys body slam each other, but if you know the history, if you know the backstage stuff, if you know what they're referencing, it's a much richer experience. This one particularly reminds me of two famous promos or segments on Raw and on WWE programming. One is great. It's Mankind and The Rock. It's Rock, This Is Your Life, where he did a similar thing where he brought all these people. He brought out like a I think it's the clown he brings out. He brings out like an old teacher. And then the famous Shawn Michaels putting Marty Jannetty through the barbershop window.
This was amazing. And it didn't end the show.
Yeah. Oh, also one more callback. Now that I think going through the window, Jericho going through the TV monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Which did you catch Kevin Owens going like, I hate you.
No.
When he did it. Yeah. And then he throws him through the TV is a callback to Jericho's Michaels feud.
Oh no.
Which was itself a callback to Jannetty. So it's this very like references on top of references.
Wow.
And like in postmodern age, like this is what we get off on. So it works.
It's so good. Everything yeah. about it was wonderful. Two things. We're not going to improve on that.
Right.
Like that was the best of wrestling of 2017. We're done. Very little wrestling. In fact, yeah. None. I don't care. It was damn near perfect. A few more things. Number one, Emelina
debuted
and back in the closet as Emma.
Yeah. Do you know why that happened?
There's been a lot of rumors that
she kind of didn't. They wanted it like a 90s Sable style wrestling.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
We'll see. Kelly got re-signed allegedly. So
somewhat related to that, we have a new women's champion on Raw.
Yeah. Bayley. Bayley.
So Bayley Lena is going to debut in 17 weeks. It's going to be great.
Some people say Stephanie McMahon started the women's revolution. So.
All right. So I think we're completely caught up. Do we get everything?
Yeah. I mean, that's basically it. I think as we're coming for a landing, I think the next thing we talked about Tuesday about Bray Wyatt having this great segment. So they're still doing great work on the A show. Bray Wyatt, who now has the belt on the road to WrestleMania, Randy Orton had won the Royal Rumble, his chance to take on his champion of his choice, the one on his show. And as we know, as if you've been listening along or watching at home, that Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton are in the Wyatt family together. And he came out and they had a little segment to close SmackDown that was pretty great.
Okay, so there's going to be a Battle Royale to determine the competitor.
Well, because Randy Orton came out and yeah.
I understand that. So do we need to find two competitors? I'm slightly confused now.
So Randy Orton comes out and says, I'm not going to challenge you. You're the master. I'm the servant.
Yes.
Kneels down. They're going to replace him as a number one contender with the Battle Royale.
Okay.
So what's going to happen is Luke Harper's going to win.
I get that.
And then we're going to have a triple threat at Mania, which historically, as you remember from when we watched all the WrestleManias like idiots, that the triple threats for the championship are some of the best matches they've ever done.
And it's something that Vince shied away from for two decades.
Yes.
And ever since, it's been great. The last time there was a quadruple four-way for the championship, it featured new Small Business Administration head, Linda McMahon.
There you go.
I didn't want to end with that, though. I want to ask one final question about this situation. Is it possible that Harper wins the Battle Royale, fine, and it's Harper, whatever, and then it's Orton Undertaker?
No.
Okay. I'm just
trying
to figure out, like, how does Undertaker fit into this? He's clearly going to be at Mania.
Reigns.
Is that a given
yeah.
now? I thought that was him and Big Strongman.
That's going to be its fast lane.
All right. Anyways, finally, we're going to loop back around, and I want to close with something that we both enjoyed, which is the Face of Fear, Bray Wyatt cutting his first promo as WWE champion. It sounds a lot like Dear Leader.
Follow the Buzzards.
She never said that this would be easy. They will lie to you, she said. They will try to denounce you, she said. They will try to steal your gift, and she was right. Sister Abigail always spoke the truth, and so do I. So when I tell you that I knew this day would come, I am not telling you a lie. And on this day, in this moment in time right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hand. Too much power. That can be a very, very scary thing. Not for me, of course, but for all of you. So I say unto you, open your ears and I will sing you a beautiful melody. Open your eyes and I will show you the wonders of this world. Walk by my side and I will lead you to paradise. Stand in my way and you will burn in the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all to the era of warriors.